If you turn now to your Bibles to James chapter 2, James chapter 2, looking at verses 1 through 13 this morning in James chapter 2. And before we begin, I do want to thank, I thanked him privately several times, many times, but I want to thank him publicly. Thank you to Ron for preaching last week. That's the second time in my short ministry career that I could not show up to preach. And, you know, maybe you think, oh, cool, you just did that to get a day off. It's not how I want to do a day off. But let me tell you, I know this happened to Frank, because Frank has told me about it in the past, but when you're a preacher and you write a sermon, you prepare for a sermon, you want to preach. There's no place I'd rather be than here on a Sunday morning preaching. Even if it's the worst sermon, which is today's, but even if it's the worst sermon, I want to be here because this is what we've been called to do, and we love it. And so for me to be at home is one thing. But to be fair, in God's providence, I will share this, though I wasn't planning on it, but Bailey was homesick as well, and there was a pit bull in our neighborhood, loose pit bull, and I just happened to walk by the window, and our 7-year-old neighbor girl was walking right up to that pit bull. So I was able to, yell out the window door to stop. So Lord, by God's providence, I was not here. So thankful, because I could be there to yell at that kid. But anyway, thank you, Ron. It was a very stressful Saturday for you, I'm sure, but thank you, and it was an amazing sermon. Everyone told me that, so thanks. So now you're stuck with me, everyone. Sorry. So James chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. Let's listen to God's word. My brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. For if a man wearing a gold ring and fine clothing comes into your assembly, and a poor man in shabby clothing also comes in, and if you pay attention to the one who wears the fine clothing and say, you sit here in a good place, while you say to the poor man, you stand over there or sit down at my feet, have you not then made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Are not the rich the ones who oppress you and the ones who drag you into court? Are they not the ones who blaspheme the honorable name by which you were called? If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourselves, you are doing well. But if you show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become accountable for all of it. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. If you do not commit adultery but do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so act as those who are to be judged under the law of liberty. For judgment is without mercy to one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that your word is absolute truth and profitable for us. And Father, as we come now to this text and we look at it, we reflect on it. Father, we ask your spirit to work in our hearts and minds. Help us understand this text academically with our minds. But Father, convict us of our sin. Show us our sin. Show us mercy. Mercy in Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the follower of Christ, as we looked at, as my sermon says last week, or 2 weeks ago, says be doers of the word, not just hearers. Okay, James just said that. Be doers of the word, not just hearers. But then he moves on now in verse 1. He moves on and he adds on to that, right? He gives us something specific to do. What does he say in verse 1? Look again at the text. My brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. Show no partiality. Do not show favoritism to someone else. Do not look at one type of person and treat them differently than someone else when you are in the fellowship, when you are at church, where you are with your brothers and sisters in Christ. We are not to show favoritism or partiality. Now, he hinted at this in chapter 1. He ended this in chapter 1, 9 through 10. But now in chapter 2, he bluntly comes out, don't treat people differently. Treat everyone the same. As long as you hold the faith in Christ, as long as you are a follower of Christ, as long as you are a Christian, as long as you are truly in Christ, do not show partiality. And then he moves on in 2 and 3, and he gives us a specific example. Look at the example he gives us. For if a man wearing a gold ring and fine clothing comes into your assembly, and a poor man in shabby clothing also comes in, and if you pay attention to the one who wears the fine clothing and say, you sit here in a good place, while you say to the poor man, you stand over there, or sit down at my feet. And then he goes on, but we'll stop there. But here we have this example of what? Rich versus poor. Now, before we look at this, realize that he, James here, is not just limiting his show no partiality to just rich versus poor. Okay, he's not doing that. He's just using rich versus poor as an example. And it's an example that resonates today with us in the church today. So he's not just limiting, though, but what's he saying? If a person enters with a fancy gold ring, well, that's not going to happen probably today. That'd be kind of weird, culturally speaking. But if someone enters in with like a three-piece suit, right? Or just wears North Face, right, since we're out west, okay? If someone dresses really nice, the opposite of me, pretty much. But if someone dresses and they are wealthy, don't treat them differently than the person who comes in shabby clothing. Don't treat them any differently. Show the people who have nice clothing respect. Show them honor. And show the people who wear shabby clothing, dirty clothing, ripped up clothing, whatever you want to say. Show them honor and respect too. Because you know what happens? If we choose the rich person, because in this example they choose the rich person, right? The church chooses the rich person and is showing honor to them. That's just rude. That's just cold. That's not like Christ, is it? And James is saying no to that. In the church, we are like Christ. We are to be like Christ. And that means we treat each other the same. And we could change it from rich and poor, right? We could say black and white. We could say black, white, Hispanic. We could say other things as well. You know, how about disabled versus non-disabled? We talked about that a couple weeks ago. If it's someone with a disability walked in, we show them honor. We treat them the same as someone without a disability. And the examples are endless. But show no partiality, brothers and sisters in Christ. Show no partiality. As long as you are part of the faith, show no partiality. Treat everyone equally, welcoming, loving, honorable. No partiality. No partiality. No racism. No sexism. No classism. Equally. No partiality. Why? Look at verse 4 through 7. Have you not then made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Are not the rich the ones who oppress you and the ones who drag you into court? Are they not the ones who blaspheme the honorable name by which you were called? So first, there's lots here, right? There's lots here. But first, when we make distinctions, when we run up to the person wearing North Face, is anyone wearing North Face? Well, don't raise your hand. If so, I'm sorry. But if we run up to the person in the three-piece suit, because I know for a fact there's no one here in a three-piece suit. It's Western Colorado. No one even owns one in this town. But when we run up and we just welcome the rich person, welcome, here, sit at this great seat. What are we doing? We're showing a distinction. We're making a judgment call that you, rich man with a three-piece suit, are better than this person with a ripped-up, dirty clothes, like Pigpen from Peanuts. But we're judging. We're saying, you're better. You deserve my attention. You deserve the honor. You deserve this. You're better. And that's not right. That's not right. That's not what we're supposed to be as the church. We're making a judgment call based off of our preference. You have lots of money, so I like you. Or you look just like me, so I like you. No. No partiality. We don't judge people. We welcome people, no matter who they are, no matter what they wear, what they look like, what they smell like, whatever. We welcome them. We show no partiality. But secondly, James here is reminding us, though, not only not to show partiality and then that we're making a judgment call there, but James is reminding us that our thought processes, our ways, if you will, are not God's ways, right? We make that judgment call like, oh, you're rich, you're great, come, we want you here. But God's saying what? The poor are rich in faith, right? It's the poor who are blessed in spirit. It's the poor who are in spirit who will inherit the kingdom of God just as much as anyone else through Christ. God welcomes everybody. That's his mindset. That's what our mindset is to be as well. It doesn't matter if we're poor physically or financially. If we have Christ, we are rich. If we are in Christ, we are equal. There's no partiality. Now, James then finishes this section of the letter, and he says two other things. One, he says that if when we are partial and we have favorites and we treat people differently, we're dishonoring that person. Now, we've all done this, right? And we'll get to that in a second, but we've all done this. Can you imagine how the other person has felt when we've done that to them? When we've ignored them and dishonored them? How humiliating for them. But that's what we've done. We've humiliated them. We've dishonored them. That's what James is saying here. When we bypass them for someone else. But then in verses 6 through 7, he kind of jumps into a cultural issue there. Because he says that, you know, you're treating these people who have persecuted you. You know, you're picking the people who've martyred you, who've persecuted you. And really what he's saying is in this time period, when he wrote this letter to these churches, it wasn't the poor who were arresting the Christians. It was the rich. It wasn't the poor who were taking Christians to court. It was the rich. And he's saying here, you are choosing those who hate you. Isn't that interesting? That's how bad their partiality was. They were running and flocking to people who were wealthy and rich, but were dragging them to court and were persecuting them. That is backwards. And that's not how it's supposed to be. Show no partiality. And that is what we have to do here at TRPC. That's the one big piece of application. We need to not show partiality. We must not show favorites. When people walk into this door, we treat everyone equally, whether they are rich or whether they are poor, whether they are black or white or Hispanic, we don't show partiality. We welcome them. We honor them. Now, here's the cool thing. I wanted to give you some great news. There is cool things about not being at church when you're the pastor. Everyone texts you and tells you how it went. And Ron did awesome last week. That was cool. But then I got something else. Someone said that was visiting last week that this was the friendliest church that they've ever been to. That's awesome. In between throw-ups, I celebrated. No, but that's what I want to hear, right? That makes a pastor so happy. Like, cool. You guys are so friendly. Well, there's one of you. I'm kidding. Now you'll be thinking, who is it? No. So in a sense, we're not showing partiality, right? That's what that means. When people walk into the door, we welcome them. We welcome them. That is great. Now, so let's readjust that. Not that we can't ever work on that and we're always, you know, we'll always have to improve, right? But individually now, privately, do we show partiality? Because here's the thing, the week I wrote this sermon, I showed partiality. And I caught myself because my sermon was on my heart. I was talking to an influential, wealthier businessman in town who I rarely get to see. And I enjoy talking to him. So I was talking to him. And then all of a sudden someone else came up who was not the exact opposite of an influential, wealthy businessman in town. And in that nanosecond, my heart said, I don't want to speak to him. I want to speak to him, the wealthier one. Wow, James got to me at that second. The word of God spoke to me. The Spirit worked in my heart. And I instantly just said, okay, see you later. I probably was rude. And went up to the other one. What does that say? Collectively, we are a welcoming church, and we're doing a great job. I'm so proud of all of you, and let's keep doing that. What about our own hearts? Individually, do we show partiality? In this church body, perhaps, or out in the community. And maybe it's not like we favor the rich over the poor. Maybe it's the exact opposite. That's actually really common in the church. We favor the poor over the rich. Right? Or maybe it's other things too. I mean, here's some other ones I wrote down. Maybe it's a race thing. We've already talked about that a little bit, but maybe it's race. Maybe it's education, right? The private homeschool, public school thing. We can act like that doesn't exist, but it does. We favor homeschoolers. Homeschoolers favor other homeschoolers. Public school people favor public school people, private school, whatever. Do we have that partiality? Political thing. That's a real big thing. And I know that for a fact. Republicans, can we talk to Democrats? Democrats, can we talk to Republicans? And the other parties that don't really matter. I'm kidding. Well, a sports thing, right? Sports fans, Broncos, Bronco fans.
Yeah, Bronco country.
You know, do we show partiality toward Patriot fans? Like, if a Patriot fan walked in here, Kyle, would you be welcoming? Right? Like Tom Brady walks in, sits right there with his wife and kids. You know, I don't know, Kyle. Just check your heart. We are like a week away from the sports drought, okay? So we have to keep this going by saying that. But you get the point, right? There's partiality in our heart. There's partiality in our heart. I'm writing this sermon. I'm in books. I'm praying and I'm studying this passage. And in one nanosecond, I am so guilty of breaking this. And I like to think of myself as someone who talks to people. But in that split second, I'm showing partiality. And I'm showing the exact type that James is talking about here. And so don't act like for one second we don't all have a problem individually. Let us show no partiality as long as we are of the faith. And here's the one thing I try to do, and I think I pray you know this. When I talk to you, I want you to know that you are the most important person at that moment. And I mean that literally. That whatever you're going to say to me, I want you to know that that is important. No matter what. And my kids aren't as little anymore, so they're not, you know, pulling my leg trying to distract me, so it's a little easier. But that's how we're supposed to be. No matter who it is, no matter what they look like, no partiality. Galatians 3:28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ. That's the key. There's no partiality because as followers of Christ, we're all one in Christ. We're all one in Christ. And even when non-believers, and this even applies to when we meet non-believers, though, we show no partiality to non-believers. We welcome non-believers. No matter what sin they're struggling with, living in, we show no partiality. We want them to come here and not think of this place as an exclusive religious club, but a welcoming, loving, gracious body of Christ. So where do we show partiality? Where do we show favoritism? Check your heart. Now look, let's move on to verses 8 through 9. If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourselves. You are doing well. But if you show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. Okay, so in verse 8, the followers of Christ, we are to do the royal law. And if we do the royal law, that means we will do well. Or James says we will do well. The royal law is what? We shall love your neighbor as yourself. Okay, that's Leviticus 18:19. But who else says that later on? Jesus, right? Jesus brings that up in the Sermon on the Mount, in Mark 12:31. So we are to do well, and does that mean that's a work righteousness that we have to earn our salvation? No, that's not what he's saying. But when we do the royal law, when we love our neighbors as ourselves, we will be doing well because we won't be showing partiality. We'll be showing the love of Christ. That's what he's saying here. But then in verse 9, he also says something else. That when we're showing partiality, what does that mean? We are in sin. Do you notice how it's not you know, it's not gray area. When we show partiality, we dishonor others. We're not showing the love of Christ. But James says what? It's sin. You sin. So, we aren't to do it. We're not to do it. We will. We struggle. I admitted my sins this morning. But we are not called to be that way. We are called to be what? Holy. So do not commit that sin. But here's the thing, and actually Jeff brought this up in Sunday school this morning, but he brings this up, it's sin, but then that means when we show partiality, we are transgressors of the law. That doesn't mean we lose our salvation, our justification, but he's saying that when we show the sin of partiality, we're law breakers. We are sinners. Now that's not a common thing in the modern church, right, to talk about sin. But we are sinners. We sin, and we are sinners. Now look at verses 10 through 11. He's going to expand on this. And that is thunder. That is, I haven't heard thunder in a long time. So praise the Lord. Let's get some rain now with that thunder, Lord. That's great. Let's look at verse 10. For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become guilty of all of it. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. If you do not commit adultery but do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So what is James saying here? This is important in this text, but also just in life for us. As we go out, as we interact with other Christians, but also as we interact with the world. But what he's saying is if you break one law, you're guilty of breaking all the laws. If you break one of God's commandments, you're a law breaker. They're all broken. You are guilty, and that's so important for us to understand. This is important because when it comes to the moral law, we become lawyers, right? And the world does too. Even if we take the world's acceptance of what they believe is the moral law or their laws, we say, well, I'm not guilty of this sin because I've never actually physically murdered anyone, so I'm not a lawbreaker. I've never committed adultery, so I'm not technically a lawbreaker. James says whatever to that. James says you break one law, you break them all. Okay, fine, you don't commit the physical act of murder. You don't commit the physical act of adultery, just for argument's sake. You lie. You bear false witness. You're a law breaker. You're guilty of breaking all of them. And then Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, what does he do? He takes that even farther, and where it should go. He takes James takes what Jesus is saying, but he takes the law and he applies it to where it needs to be applied, the heart. Jesus says, okay, you haven't physically murdered anyone? Okay. Have you gotten angry at someone? Committed murder in your heart. Okay, you haven't committed adultery physically. Great. Have you ever lusted after someone? That's adultery in your heart. You're a lawbreaker. James and Jesus are showing us the law, and they're saying, you all are lawbreakers. And a few weeks ago when I was visited by those Mormon missionaries in town, and they never came back. Can't believe why. But that's when we were talking, it boiled down to this. It boiled down to the fact that, okay, how are you saved? By doing our religious custom. How else are you? Okay, so there's that. But what else? Well, by not, and they listed murder and adultery, physical sins. So then I took them to what Jesus said. Have you ever gotten angry at someone? Have you ever lusted after someone? Yes, I use those terms with these young men. Very awkward for them. And that's when they left. Why? Well, I pray the Holy Spirit convicted them. Because they know that they are lawbreakers. They know that they've never committed murder physically, sure. They've gotten angry at someone. They've lusted after someone. It's an issue of the heart. They are lawbreakers. And James is saying they are breakers of the whole law. All of it. And so are we. And what do these transgressors deserve? Transgressions deserve? Look at 12 through 13. So speak and so act as those who are to be judged under the law of liberty. For judgment is without mercy to one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Now there's one sense that you can say that James is calling us to be merciful, right? And showing no partiality, right? Be merciful. Show no partiality. Show love. But it's more than that. What do our transgressions deserve? Judgment. That's what it's, right? Judgment. That's what this is saying. If we break one law, we break them all. If we break one law, we deserve God's judgment. That's what we deserve. That's what we deserve. That's tough. That's tough. But what else does James say? The transgressions deserve judgment, but what? This is beautiful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. How do we get that mercy? Jesus. Jesus. Because of Jesus, we can find mercy. Isn't that just wonderful? Because of Jesus, we can find mercy. It's not like God just does away with the judgment part. He just throws it out the window. No. Jesus dies on the cross. He takes the wrath of God, which is the judgment, right? It's poured out on him for his children. And then by God's grace through faith, we find mercy. Jesus took it all so we can have mercy. Mercy through Christ triumphs over judgment. We have found mercy. That's awesome. This is so huge for the follower of Christ. This is so huge. This is why we need to rejoice. But this is also why we need to not show partiality. Because we all deserve judgment. All of us. If you're rich, if you're poor, black, white, you know, homeschool, private school, public school, we all deserve judgment. But mercy through Christ triumphs over judgment. Therefore, we're all the same. If we're in Christ, we're all just saved by God's grace. No partiality. So everyone who walks in that door who is saved, everyone that walks in that door who trusts Christ, they're just our brothers and sisters in Christ. No different. And we treat them no different. And any non-believer that walks into that door, they are just like us in another sense, that they need Jesus. They need that grace. Doesn't matter what they look like, doesn't matter at all. We show them no partiality. That's the gospel. Mercy triumphs over judgment. So rejoice. Brothers and sisters in Christ, if you are here, rejoice. Because like, if it wasn't for Jesus, how would that end? You deserve judgment. But because of Jesus, we get mercy. Mercy. So let you rejoice. But here's the thing. Don't just go out rejoicing. Let that also change you. Let this truth change you as you look at others. Because you know in your heart who you're struggling with, right? You know the type of person that is hard for you to talk to. You know the type of person that you don't want to engage, that you show partiality to. Let the truth that we are all sinners and all deserve judgment, but through Christ and Christ alone we have found mercy, change you. So you can engage all people and show no partiality. But here's the thing, and finally, now we know we're wrapping up. Finally, have you experienced God's grace and mercy? Because I just said we're all sinners. I just said if we break one sin, we're lawbreakers and we break them all. And that means we're guilty, and that means we deserve God's judgment. Have you ever experienced God's grace? Have you ever experienced God's mercy? It's found only through Christ. Repent of your sins. You're a lawbreaker like me. Repent of your sins and trust Jesus as sacrifice for your sin. Trust him as your Savior, as your Lord. And then, and only then, will mercy triumph over judgment in your life because you have Jesus as your Savior. But it's not by just coming to church, and it's not by being religious. It's not by doing anything. It's by God's grace through faith in Christ. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. And Father, help us in our sin of showing partiality, of making judgment calls based off of our preferences and what we like. Help us treat everyone equally. showing the love of Christ to others. And Father, help us here that have never repented of our sins and never trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior, know that we are sinners. Help them see their sin and see that the only way to have mercy from the judgment that we deserve is through Christ, Christ alone. So bring them to faith and repentance in Jesus Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.